Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Be seated. Man, it is good to be here tonight, and I'm excited to finish what I believe God has been just really leading us as a church in with our study of Proverbs. And we've been talking about the path of wisdom, not necessarily that we're done with Proverbs tonight, but just when we've been talking about the path of wisdom, our last section, we kind of ended with talking about how the path of wisdom provides direction for our life and gives us insight. But I'm really excited for this part of what we've been talking about to kind of come in, because I really feel like the Holy Spirit has been leading us and leading our thinking the last couple weeks, kind of getting us geared up for this. You know, I really feel like the Holy Spirit has got something he's trying to get us to grasp onto. And, you know, after listening to Pastor Ashley the last few weeks, hopefully our eyes are being open to a bigger picture that God has for us, and that he wants us to play a more intimate part in the body of Christ than just being a receiver. Amen. You know, I think it goes even more intimate. God doesn't even see you so much as a tool. You know, I've said this before, but God doesn't see you as a hammer or a nail. God doesn't even see you as a multi-purpose tool. Those are pretty handy. But God sees you as a son. God sees you as a daughter. He wants us to be about his business. See, God doesn't just see you as something that he can use. God wants you to be a part of his business. God wants you to be a part of the plan that he has for this world. And he sees you as a vital part of that. It's this idea that God wants us, that he longs for us, not just to be a part of something so we can do a bunch of stuff, but for us to be a part of the relationship with him. You know, I love what Pastor Ashley has been talking about with the big picture and the whole idea about a puzzle piece. God doesn't just want you to be so focused on your own little piece. He wants you to be concerned with how the whole picture is supposed to look. And then where do you fit in that? But it's going to take us walking in wisdom to be able to find where we're supposed to be in that picture and what that's supposed to look like for us. He wants our eyes to be opened up in wisdom, because through wisdom, we will be able to do something in our lives now and here on this earth, and we won't have to wait until we get to heaven to feel like we're getting to be a part. It will equip us to love God and to love his people even better, the more wisdom that we grow in. It's through his wisdom that God allows us to grow in our maturity as believers, because it's through the process of maturity that we get closer and closer to what I want to focus on tonight, which is perfection, the perfection side of wisdom. But it's only through maturity that we can ever hope to get to that point. Now, that word perfection is a scary word. That word perfection is especially scary when you talk about sin and things that aren't sin, and it doesn't take real long for me to think about the last time that I wasn't perfect in my life. But bless the Lord that God has laid out a path for us to walk on, and a path being the path of wisdom. I've got a few verses to share with us, just some verses to add to this idea of what God's talking about when he's talking about perfection. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Bless the Lord. Do you consider yourself being sanctified? I do. Do you consider yourself trying to be set apart? Then bless the Lord, perfection's not on you. Jesus Christ, through his offering, has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. I think about my weaknesses. And bless the Lord, 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul goes on to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am also made strong. God is committed to us, even in our imperfect natures. God is committed. Why is God committed? Because he seeks relationship with us. It's from that place of relationship that we can see this verse come to light. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, but it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one could boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance to do. You are the handiwork of God. Your life is the handiwork of God. When I think about handiwork, I automatically go to my father-in-law, Kelly Daniel. Kelly loves the tedious, intricate, texturing, backsplash, things that you do for 3 hours right here, and you've still got all the rest of this over here to do. Kelly loves that stuff. Because although that requires the most patience, it requires the best skill, it requires the most focus, when you finish and you take a step back, man, that's what God wants your life to be like. God wants you to let him work on you, texture you. God wants you to allow him to spend time with you through wisdom by his Spirit and work on your life and allow him to take what once was just this puttied up wall to whenever you let him complete the work in you that he has for you, for whenever him just kind of step back, people will be able to look at your life and go, wow. Wow. But see, in order for us to get to that place where we become a perfected, finished product, we have to take a hold of the idea of it's going to take some time. It's going to take us submitting to the hand of God resting on our life and him saying, hey, let me try this. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let me etch this on you. What do you think about this? It's going to take some time for God to work that out in you. But see, God is committed. See, it's because of that I believe that God calls us to excellence. There's no doubt in my mind. God calls us to excellence. Now, this excellence isn't something that we should shy away from or be afraid of. This excellence is not for us to look at other people's lives and go, well, compared to them, I'm looking pretty good. No, where are you compared to the blueprint that God has for you? Where are you with the blueprint that God has for you? Let's not take our time to look at the way that other people's lives are being fulfilled or the way that God's working in another person's life. How is God working on you? When's the last time that you've submitted to him whenever he told you to do this or to change that or to go talk to this person or to... Excellence is the standard. And while we strive after perfection, it's only through Christ that we can ever hope to achieve it. That's why Jesus had to come. But through the wisdom of God, we can make the necessary adjustments in our life to change our course towards heavenly things. I think we all in here have been on that place where we heard that cry out to us from God, and us to be able to look, it was almost like just a window opened up, and we were able to see where our lives were going and where they could go, and bless the Lord, we had the first little spurt of wisdom, and we took that first step on the path of wisdom, amen? Because we knew that what was ahead of us was something that was going to bless us. We knew that what God had for us was going to be for our good. It was our first step in spiritual maturity. Maturity, a lot like faith, starts off real small, like a mustard seed. Your spiritual maturity is a lot like faith. And it can start off real small, but the great thing about it is that over time, as you feed it, as you grow it, it doesn't just grow in its size or in its progression, but also in its capability of what it can do and what it can produce. Maturity is the key to our growth and our production as Christians. And it's only in maturity that we can ever hope, and I want to make sure people get this, it's only in spiritual maturity that we can ever hope to be of any use to the kingdom. But see, we have Christ who has become our wisdom, amen? We've been talking about this as we've been studying it. Christ has become our wisdom. So we have the blueprint for our life. We have the steps to follow after in the way that Christ lived. And it is Jesus who allows us to reach heights that we would have never imagined possible for our life had it not been us stepping out in wisdom and allowing ourselves to become more matured spiritually. See, as Christians, I believe, and this is again why I say that everything that we've been listening to from Pastor has completely led up to this. I believe that there are three stages that we go through as Christians. We start off as receivers only. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, you need to crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. See, the milk is essential for us at the beginning. It gives us the nutrients we need to learn how to walk. You need those simple, good, and pure truths. Truths that are basic and fundamental to our faith. Without those very fundamental, nutrient-filled, enriched steps, that building block, your faith is not going to have what it needs to grow legs and walk. But see, over time, because of our foundation that is under us in spirituality, in those simple truths, we get built up. Even in a little bit, we begin to develop spiritual teeth. We begin to be able to have spiritual mobility. And unlike an infant where we were helpless, we now can digest some things that had we not had the original fundamental basic truths, we wouldn't be able to understand at this point. See, the wisdom that we took a hold of, that we digested, that we allowed to fill us, grew us to a place where not that those truths weren't good anymore, but now we were ready to try something else. Let's see if we can sink our teeth into, why don't you feed a baby a T-bone steak? A T-bone steak's pretty good. I like them. So Joan, whenever she was 6 months old, she should have liked them too. She didn't have the tools necessary to enjoy one like I could. Not just in her teeth, but inside of her, she did not have the ability to digest. Had I made a way for it to go down her throat, she didn't have the ability to digest that. Are you guys picking up what I'm saying? We have to grow step by step, or else we will reject good truths if we don't grow spiritually mature. Then from a young child, you begin to grow. From a second stage of going from an infant to a young child, you begin to grow up now. And now the meat that you've been taking in, hopefully guarded by a well-balanced diet of different things. Some truths that make you feel good, bless the Lord. Some truths that Maybe you're kind of like broccoli for some people in here. But you had someone, hopefully a good pastor leading you, a good mentor leading you, guiding you. You need to eat this. Well, I don't like it. I don't like the way it tastes. You need to eat this. Because oftentimes it's the stuff that's the most nutritious that we want to reject. Oftentimes it's the stuff that we need to hear the most because it's something that the Lord's trying to grow us in, mature us in. That's the stuff I want to leave off my plate. I want to hear about the blessings, and I want to hear about the healings, and I want to hear about the Holy Ghost fire, and I want to hear about conviction, rebuke, repentance. No, those are the things that we need. Because then from that second stage of like a young child with a well-balanced diet, your bones begin to grow and your stature in the spirit begins to be grown up and matured. Now you can handle more responsibility that as a young child, had you not been developed up spiritually mature, you wouldn't be able to handle. See, now the Lord can say, instead of leading you and having him have to take you everywhere by your hand and show you where everything is, he can say, hey, go and do that. Hey, go and use your abilities that I've given you and take care of this. Because you're being fed every day, not just by the Word, but by the Holy Spirit. This is really good. You're being fed every day, and you have been grown up in a way where now the Lord can trust you with more things. You can see why it's important for you to keep yourself well fed. You can see where you're supposed to work. You can see how that situation that was meant for your bad was turned around for your good, and it wasn't God who caused it to happen, but praise God, he was there to turn it around for you. We don't assign blame. We don't have to question who God is to us because we've been in a relationship with him spiritually since we were this big. Y'all get what I'm saying? So here's what I've got for you guys tonight. I've got some visual aids that I want to share to help drive this point home. Just in case for all those who are visual learners here. And I just want to prepare you. What you're about to see on the screen may shock you. But just bear with me. I promise it'll be good for us. So if we can go ahead and get the first slide up there. Man. Okay, so that's me, if you can't tell. And I'm just telling you right now, you have the finished product up here. It don't get no better than that right there. So it doesn't get any prettier than that right there. There was a time spiritually where you had to be led like an infant, where someone had to take care of you, feed you food that you could digest, and clean up after you once you were done. You couldn't handle any responsibility. The only thing that you could do was take. You couldn't even open your mouth up and say thank you for this. All you could do was cry and cry out. And here's the thing, bless the Lord, I'm not here to put anyone down who's in the spiritually infant stage of their walk with Christ. Bless the Lord. We, those who might say, oh, I'm a more mature person, don't go putting someone down who's spiritually less mature than you are. Pay really close attention that you don't do anything to run someone off who's spiritually less mature than you are. Because you were there too at one point in time. And bless the Lord, you got what you needed. Amen? Let's go ahead and let's do the second slide here. Over time, you began to develop. And at this stage, man, you've got some good-looking polo shirt on. Another thing I learned from doing this, if you ask my mother to send you pictures of me, you'll get about 900,000 of them. So I stuck with ones that were less candid and more where I was. As the front of my face was about the best look I had, so that's what we went with for a picture. But you were raised up. Now here's the thing, at this point in your spiritual walk and your spiritual maturity, you could be given some responsibilities. But you weren't given the keys to go drive because you couldn't handle that yet. Thankfully, at this point in your spiritual walk, hopefully, you're at a place where you knew who your spiritual father was. You could recognize that. Nobody's going to shake me off of that. Nobody's going to shake a kid like who's 7 or 8 years. I don't even know how old I am in that picture, but 7 or 8 year old who my parents are, who raised me, who brought me up. There's been a foundation laid spiritually that has built me up to this point where, man, now I've got a set of choppers and I can digest a few things a little bit more. But know this, that my taste wasn't completely refined. I had to still be monitored in what I ate, or else I'd just eat whatever I wanted to. Somebody actually had to tell me, Chapman, that's enough. You've eaten enough of that. Go get some of this before you eat that. Hey, don't eat that first or you're going to spoil. We've got too many Christians who are in this place and they're trying to worry about end times prophecy and things that are, you don't even have a full revelation yet just about your identity in Christ and that He has good plans for you. See, at this stage in my life, I'll be honest, I don't remember having a really full picture of what I was going to do for the Lord whenever I grew up. I probably wanted to be a zookeeper or a WWF wrestler or something like that. But I'm just saying, at this point in your life, you don't have as big of a picture. But here's the thing. Bless the Lord, you're still being nurtured. You're still being taken care of. You have to submit to the authorities that are over you. And again, the same charge I give is those who might say that you know spiritually mature people who act like children still, bless them. Don't run them off because they're not acting where you think. Let the Lord mature them. Or allow the Lord through you to say what you need to say, but don't run somebody off because that's where they're at in their spiritual walk. And then we'll do the last slide now. Man, that's a full head of hair right there. What was really cool about this, and this is just a little side note. So this was taken 10 years ago. This is 10 years. So you know those. So boys, whenever they ask you, guys that are graduating, whenever they ask you, where do you see yourself in 10 years? I did not see myself over here in Billings, Missouri, preaching from a stage. This is not. At this point in your spiritual walk, you've got a lot of things, hopefully by now, figured out. Hopefully by now, you don't have to wear a bib when you're eating. Maybe unless you go like Joe's Crab Shack or something like that. But hopefully at this point, whenever you are doing things, people can expect you to handle it responsibly. Now, bless the Lord. Bless us. There are just some times we still miss it. And there are still some times where we're not really thinking all the time the right way. And man, I sure wish I could tell you that guy in that picture right there was never led by his emotions. But man, there were a lot of times I got led by my emotions instead of being led by what I knew I was supposed to do. Here's the thing. Just like we read earlier, I was God's handiwork. God was still working on me. God was still showing me things and having things ready for me to be shown that I wasn't ready to handle just yet. But bless the Lord, there were people in my life that I was submitted to that I had just enough wisdom to take some knowledge from that kept me from doing some really boneheaded things. Bless the Lord, I had enough of a foundation spiritually that I was spiritually mature enough to not think that I had everything figured out at 18 years old. Spiritually. Here's the thing, we cannot discredit people who are spiritually immature for making immature decisions. What we who would say that we are spiritually mature need to do is do our best to show them how they ought to handle. And let the Lord correct them or show them how it's going to be. If you are someone who is a younger person, understand God most likely is not going to give you a dream that's going to say, hey, what you did was wrong. Most likely, God's going to send an elder of the church to you and say, hey, you need to cut that out. And you can either go, well, who are they to come tell me? Or you can realize and have enough wisdom to go, that's God. That's somebody with some experience. That's somebody that I would say knows a little bit more than I do. And then that's all. You can bear them. Get that off their face. Yeah, that's a little bit more pretty to look at. I told y'all I didn't get any better. Y'all had the finished product standing up here. I told y'all I didn't get any better from that first one. But hopefully, though, your progression goes into someone who is more mature over time the longer that you spend with the Lord. Listen, I'm not standing up here going, now, here's perfection. Here's perfection, ladies and gentlemen, right here. But what I am saying is, though, I am more spiritually mature than I was. I am still chasing after the excellence that Jesus Christ laid out before me. I pray that people see my life as a representation of at least some of the fundamental truths of our faith. And this is how our walk with Christ should go. Over time, we're going to have to face some things just through spiritual maturity that are going to hurt. Cutting teeth as a newborn baby hurts. That's why they cry. And understand, it's got nothing to do with you being in sin or you being in, but just you growing in maturity sometimes hurts. Truth coming out of you sometimes will hurt. As the realizations come and you go, oh, this isn't right. Growing pains hurt. From my eighth grade year to my freshman year, I grew 6 inches. And I can tell you right now, my back hurt real bad as a freshman. There's a video of me playing basketball, and I'm literally scooting on my feet across the floor because my knees and my back hurt so bad. When the Lord grows you, sometimes it's going to hurt. But it's a necessary pain in order for you to make room for what He's getting ready to pour into you. Is anybody grabbing a hold of that tonight? Here's what I want us to see. I want us to see that it's two things coming to a point. Your maturity in the Lord, your maturity in your spirituality, your maturity in Christ comes alongside the standard that Christ laid. And the closer that your maturity and the perfection of Christ will get as long as you are continuing to walk down the path of wisdom. The further that you go in wisdom, the further that you allow yourself to be corrected, the further that you go in being able to make the necessary changes that God would have for you, you're going to notice it's without a doubt that your life will begin to closer and closer emulate Christ. Which that should make sense, because it was Christ Himself who became our wisdom. Therefore, it will only make more sense that the more spiritually mature that you get, that's why God wants us to hunger for wisdom so much, because that's the only way that we can get closer and closer to Christ. And the closer and the closer and the closer and the closer that we get to Christ, the closer to perfection that we're going to see in our lives. There's just no doubt about it. You cannot have likeness with Christ in your life and not have a life that emulates Him. Not have a life that glorifies Him. Not have a life that shows other people what Christ looks like. It's impossible. Those two things cannot happen at the same time. Those two things have to happen at the same time. So that's what I want us to see tonight as we begin. Because you may be thinking, well, this is a really great message. What does this have to do with Proverbs? Everything. Everything. The only way the only way that we can mature as Christians is through wisdom. Christ became our wisdom. The only way that we can get to God is through Christ. The only way that we can get through spiritual maturity is through the wisdom that God has for us. And here's the great thing about it. Wisdom doesn't necessarily have to be, well, so I got saved, Chapman, at 55. You're telling me that hopefully by the time I'm 75, I'll be somewhat mature of a Christian? No. No. Because I think everyone in this room can honestly say, I know some really mature young people. I know some really mature young people. We could also, on the flip side, say, I know some really immature adults. Just because you're full grown doesn't mean that you're matured. Just because you're full grown doesn't mean that you're matured. Because maturity in the spirit has less to do with your time that you've spent on earth and more to do with the time that you've spent with Christ. It has less to do with the time that you've spent on earth and more to do with the time that you've spent with Christ. How much time then are you spending with Christ? How much time then are you spending chasing after wisdom? Because it's imperative. It's imperative. That's the introduction. I'm just kidding. So here's where I want us to go then. Y'all turn to Proverbs 4. And I want to use that to kind of catapult us into this last little part as we're talking about the path of wisdom. Wisdom leads us to perfection. And the perfection that we're talking about here, again, is not meaning that you never make a mistake. The perfection that we're talking about here is the perfection of spiritual maturity. And that maturity comes by time spent with wisdom. Now, the great thing is that it's God's will for us to become mature. And it's not because it's some part of God's diabolical plan to like make your life like this, and then you've got to, for so many years, do this, and then it's going to be real hard. No, God has it set up. And it's not God's fault that we have to come back to wisdom. Ecclesiastes 7:29 says this, "But I did find this. God created people to be virtuous, but they have each turned to follow their own downward path." Therefore, what that means for us is that it's our job then to take those necessary steps in wisdom to move forward in maturity, okay? So let's start here in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. There he taught me, and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all of your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, and accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to the instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path to your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left, but keep your foot from evil. I want to end there tonight. Next week, we're going to break that down. But I really felt like it was necessary for me tonight to bring up what I just felt like God laying on my heart. This whole wisdom stuff is not just about good sayings. It's not just about something cool that you can have in your pocket whenever something happens and then you have some retort to it. This wisdom that we're talking about, pursuing and chasing after, is imperative to our growth as believers. Without wisdom, we're never going to get a bigger picture than what we already have. Without wisdom, we're never going to be able to go to the next level that God wants us to go to. You know, I look right now in this church going on. We got another picture over there. Outside, we've got asphalt being laid. We're getting ready to put in the drive-thru out there. And to think where that all started, Pastor and Michelle's coffee table. It takes commitment. It takes time. It takes not just knowing what the next step is to do, but then going out and actually doing it. And bless the Lord for two godly people who laid the foundation for what we're seeing now come to pass. That's what God has in store for us. Amen. Y'all stand with me.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.